This is RSBNB Update, episode 345, recorded Friday, January 27th, 2012, Inflation and Economics 101.
Now,
Tracky, would you explain to everybody what you just said?
It was a standard Chinese New Year greeting, wishing everybody a great new year and telling everybody to be good this year and help your mom.
Okay. So as you guys will remember last week, if you were listening last week, we ended off with saying that Chinese New Year was on the way, so there's the greeting for that. But we'll get more into what exactly Chinese New Year consisted of you later on in the program. So welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update. For those of you guys who don't speak Chinese, I will say that for you. We hope you got here by choice and not by force.
All right, so it's been a relatively slow week this week at RuneScape again.
Yeah, it sure has, hasn't it? So
yeah, it's,
you know,
it's,
I was.
It's the I second week that
this
been
week.
Uh-huh,
I was panicking sure. this week because, you know, there's no RS update this week. I thought the update was going to be out this week, but no. And then, essentially, we only have a few little news items to discuss that JAGX put out, so we're just going to do that. So don't be surprised if it's a shorter show this week.
So, Shane, so let's start out with the new member pricing that's about to come up.
Uh-huh. So this new pricing scheme is going to begin on February 1st. The new one-month price will be $7.95 in the U.S., $4.95 in the U.K., and $6.95 in the Eurozone.
Mm-hmm. And as you can see from people on our forums, on RuneWire, and on the official RS site, there has been some not-so-happy responses to this. So, but Shane, I think I'll let you take the lead on this one first.
Okay. Well, let's preface this with saying that when members first came out way back when, it was initially $5 per month, U.S., we're just going to base everything off here in U.S. prices because I'm from Canada and you're from the U.S.
Okay.
So that doesn't necessarily scale to somewhere like Australia or New Zealand where it's undoubtedly going to be more. But, you know, you'll see the same increases over time. So now in August of 2008, JAGX increased the prices to $5.95 per month. And, you know, we had the same kind of reaction back then that we're seeing today. So it's just a natural reaction, in my view, of a player base. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward here. So $5.95 up to $7.95. Now let's lay this out over the course of a month. There's 30 days in a month. And I'm assuming that if you play RuneScape, you play it because you... Well, I mean, play it as a member, because you obviously get some kind of satisfaction from the game or something. Because that's typically what drives us to buy any consumer product out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, a $2 increase per month. I mean, I could go around this house here looking for spare change and I'd find $2 instantly. So $2 in the bigger scheme of things in this day and age is really nothing. I mean, you compare it to a bag of chips from a vending machine, that's upwards of $2 here. A bottle of pop from a vending machine, $2 again. So my point with this whole membership price is if $2 is really something that you're that you feel is too much, why not just go one day a month without buying that little treat from the vending machine after school or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Everything has gone up all over the world. It's not just Jagex. And, you know, as I mentioned last week, do you remember that most of the bots did get kicked out? And, of course, that means less revenue. With less, you know, with less people means that there's less money flowing into Jagex, albeit although they are still making a decent amount of profit, which hopefully they are investing in other things for the game. But the other thing is also that while they are more blunt with the price increase, if you really take a look at almost anything else, including your local supermarket, everything has gone up in price. It's not just them. They're just out there saying that, oh, it won't go up because we can afford it. If you actually go out to the supermarkets, look at any packaging, you will actually notice that many of them are a lot smaller than what they used to be. And it's because the same thing is due to inflation.
Yeah, and rather than increase the price of that bottle of orange juice that you buy, they shrink it down so it's the same price, so you'll continue to buy it.
Right, so, because everybody knows that if you jack up the price, a dollar or two, no one's going to get it. But if you keep the same
something
price,
like orange
you
juice.
Hide it, but you hide it well, you know, it people don't notice. And you take a look, like an bottle of orange juice is around, 10 ounces less, give or take.
Sorry, I don't speak ounces term.
Oh, I don't know, 50 grams?
Okay. So, now this comes in. Now, I think it's time to give a bit of an overview for what inflation is for people who don't know. Generally, inflation is tied to the growth of the economy. And some countries out there have choices to control inflation or control the interest rates, because inflation and interest are kind of linked. So it depends which you want to control more. So you can use either or as a method for controlling the other. So here in Canada, we do have a policy to control inflation. The general target is between 1% and 2%. And we've maintained that target since 1993, which is a great thing in my view. But if we look over to the UK, which I did once this news post came out, their inflation hovers between 3% and 5.5% since 2008. So let's just assume, for sake of argument, that we're going to assume 4% inflation there. So we got 4 for 4 years of increase. So we're at 16% increase of that price right there. So we can say that half of this price increase from $5.95 to $7.95 is roughly due to inflation because, well, it increased from $5.95 to $7.95 is roughly a 33% increase in the price of membership. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, half of it due to inflation. We got to remember the last time they updated the prices for the game was 2008. So now let's assume they're going to keep the same scheme going on and not update the prices again until 2015, 2016. So we've got the same window of inflation, probably another 12 to 15% to go for. So there we go. There's our 30 to 33% increase on pricing. It's all due to inflation in the past 4 years and forecasting potential inflation in the future. So in a way, you can see that, you know, this is due to the inflation over the past few years to make up for that and to compensate for the inflation in the next 4 years, because Jagex does not like changing their prices all that often.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, that is the rationale for changing this. So we might even be able to get away with saying, you know, hey, this change is entirely due to inflation, and, you know, it's just the way the ball bounces. It's not that Jagex is trying to suck more money out of its players because of down subscriber numbers or something like that. So, personally, I just think it's due to inflation, me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only view on this. I mean, because if you look at the way the prices increase, that's been the trend, is that they wait 3 or 4 years before updating the prices again. And you know, that's a fair thing to do because that creates consistency and an expected price that people are going to continue to pay. So it's perfectly legit for that.
And
so overall, I'm not too upset about this. So that's the message I want to take to all you guys out there who are maybe upset about this, is that this is just a natural progression of things to deal with inflation. Because as Trekkie said, you could either decrease the amount of content you get or increase the price. And Jagex here chose to increase the price. And let's be real here. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody who listens to a RuneScape podcast is pretty set on playing RuneScape because they get something from it. So you're going to find the extra $2 a month somewhere to pay for this, I'm pretty sure.
What was the other thing I was trying to add? Oh, while in, you know, about the price increase thing, yeah, is that in the short term it does suck because it's technically more money out of your pocket, but in the long term of things, you'll actually see an increase in your income. The idea behind inflation is that as it increases, your paycheck has to increase to accommodate. Let's say way back in the 1930s, where gasoline was probably 25 cents a gallon or what, 50 cents a liter, around that chain.
Oh, well, 50 cents a liter was back in the 1990s here.
Oh, close enough. So let's say $1 a liter at the time. Well, remember, most people at that time only made $1 an hour. That was considered minimum wage. Well, if it takes $1, so it worked 40 hours a day, that's $40 every week. But not 40 hours every week, that's $40 every week. Blech. Sorry, Shane. And so you're paying, you may be paying $5 every week to fill up your car. That's, what's the percentage of that, Shane? What's that like?
What? I wasn't paying attention to what you're doing.
What's $5, five out of 40? What percentage is that again?
12% or so.
12%. So you're paying roughly 12% of your weekly income onto gas. Well, the same thing here, where now you're not making the $40 every week. You're making roughly minimum wage is around 11, so around $440 every week. Well, if you're still paying only that 12% every week on the gas, the amount of money that you spent hasn't increased. It's just the same percentage of your monthly income. So while in the short term, if you see that big nasty price hike, you also keep in mind that you'll end up pretty soon in the long term with minimum wage laws and other things that employers have to increase their payroll. What that means, you get more money into your pocket, but you're paying the exact same amount.
Yeah, and that's also interesting because inflation, through what you're saying, minimum wage will goes up through inflation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
there's also laws in economics that say that if you decrease the minimum wage, your workforce is you can hire more workforce and be more productive for the same amount of money. So it's so with this being said, if a company were to ignore this and not pay the minimum wage to people, they would become more productive as a result, but the people would suffer more and they would feel the effects of inflation. So it's a question of whether you want more productivity or you want people to not feel the effects of inflation as much. So going from this, it depends on what your parents are doing. I'm assuming most of you guys out there listening to this get some sort of allowance from your parents or something. So let's assume parents are your employer here and they're paying you a minimum wage allowance. And if that allowance is not going up, they can do more with their money. But at the same time, you're feeling the effects of Jagex's inflation here. So as you can see, it's all related to inflation in the long term. But anyways, I think that's pretty much all I wanted to say with inflation here. I think we essentially gave a bit of a brief overview of how economics works. And I just hope that a good majority of people will take this to heart rather than jumping on the bandwagon of the what seems to be a community knee-jerk reaction of them just trying to go for a money grab, you know? Because I don't really think that's fair to Jagex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people have invested so much time in this game. Jagex knows that. They make the game. They invest all their time, too. So, and, it's probably that a good portion of the JMods out there actually play the game as regular people do. So they know what this comes down to. So it's not... I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt for this one, and I think you guys all should too. Anyways, I think I'm done with that one. I think that's all I wanted to mention there.
But, you know, with the price, I do hope we see more content this year, though.
Well, you know, I think so far we're going to see a bit of a progression from 2011. Specifically, for example, here in this next piece of news, we have to talk about a developer blog for Resculpting the Tzar. So it seems like they're progressing with incremental updates, but at the same time, they're using that to update the graphics of the game. Have you taken a look at some of these pictures here?
Yeah, I did. Very lizard-like. And one looks like a fat Buddha.
Is that the one that is on the middle of the page?
Belly.
Her? Yeah, okay.
Bare belly one.
So basically, they go through this and said that they wanted to do another Tzar quest, so they figured it would be a good time to do a graphical update. They went through a whole list of possible places to draw from inspiration, including Jim Henson's Dark Crystal, Art Nouveau Designs, Roger Dean, who does progressive rock album covers, and they did, of course, the natural shapes of obsidian in volcanic environments. In particular, obsidian shards and obsidian spheres. I wonder if there's anything to do with an obsidian order anywhere.
No, I don't think so. I don't see
bonus
anything.
Bonus points if you guys get what that is pointing to.
Too bad they don't get the points.
So, initially with this quest, you were going to have to sacrifice a fire cape to do this quest.
Oh.
That was the initial requirement, and it was changed after that to just you need a fire cape to enter the area. So it should be interesting to see when this comes out what exactly, why exactly such a thing is needed for this area.
I'm just gonna say you probably need it for camouflage. You know, be able to hide in between the rocks during the enemy waves or something like that.
Or maybe just extra heat because you know you'd be cooler than your surrounding area. So with the fire cape, it makes you warmer, so it kind of makes you blend in. You know,
that's creepy. So Shane, let me ask you this: if it did require to remove a fire cape, would you be doing this quest?
No, I wouldn't. I would be hiring out to get somebody else to do it.
I don't want to fight Jad again.
It would be a decent fight to do, but the problem with it is that it's just too hard because of the lag and the way the game interacts with the servers. You should not need to wait for a server response to turn a prayer on or eat.
Ow. Yeah, so check out the pictures. They're adding some good ones. Hopefully we get to see them in the game in the full effect, in full screen mode. So next up, we're going to take a look at the Players Gallery. Jack has just released a new batch of player-created pictures. You can go check them out. Just going through some of them. We got a couple of computer drawings. We got someone who made a Play-Doh. Oh, that was bad. We have a Play-Doh with a guy holding a whip and with dragon legs. A couple other, 3D, some 3D elements, and a kissing one. Shane, any of them are your favorites?
I don't know. Not particularly this month. I think the new Monster's Lair in the Dark is a decent one, but nothing really stands out for me this month.
Mm-hmm. like the Play-Doh.
Okay.
Play-Doh looks nice. But he has a face that you just... that someone just sucked his brain out.
Yeah, the eyes do look like they're kind of sitting on top of the head, don't they? Rather than in the head. We're referring to the adventurer. The one called the adventurer.
Yeah, so... he's not even holding a shield either, so... he's going to get boned by whatever he's fighting. Oh, and he's wearing an Onyx amulet too. Didn't notice that first time.
When are you going to make me one of those?
When are you going to give me the stone?
I'm not.
Exactly. We're 10 million, Shane. I don't have 10 mil to spare. You remember last time I went with you-know-who and got boned by the Zamorak god in God Wars Dungeon? And my method of getting cash is not working currently due to inflation.
Well, there we go. Inflation again hurting you. So maybe they should just abolish the minimum wage laws. You know, that is one thing that some economists say they should do is abolish minimum wage laws in order to increase productivity.
Uh-huh. And when nobody can buy your products, then what?
I don't know. Anyways, so that's the player's gallery. Next up is a compilation of top 10 Barrows tips. And normally we wouldn't be featuring a video mentioned on their Facebook page because we normally just leave the social media thing for you guys to do. But we'd figure we would mention this because one of our members' tips got in, specifically Alex43. I think it was tip number 6 or something regarding Barrows. So you can check out this video on their YouTube channel. Link is in the show notes, update.rsbnb.com. So congratulations to you, Alex.
Okay.
And next up, Jagex posted a copy of the letter we shared last week on the show, just as it broke. But aside from that, they got a bit of an update regarding gold farming and what they're doing to actually stop the rest of the bots. So first and foremost, they want to remind us that they are dedicated to this cause to provide you, our esteemed community, an enduringly great game, and we have no intention of stopping here. They are continuing to work on the performance issues from Bot Nuke Day, which, you know... I feel the majority of them have been smoothed out. What do you think?
Don't know. Don't really know. Don't know what to say. I just think that Jagex is going after bots, and so far they're winning.
Yep. And they say that they're confident they can stay a few steps ahead in the arms race with the remaining bot developers and gold farmers, and they're already getting ready to release the next generation of the anti-botting software called Optimus. They say it's going to be released shortly. I hope they tell us when it's released so we know if it's causing any problems in game. And they are, of course, working on ways to remove the rest of the screen scraper bots from the game. So, I guess for all you guys out there who've said bots are back, the fight's still going on and color bots are indeed the next target. So, good job, Jagex. We're happy about that.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Yep. Anything else you want to mention there or RS related before we move on to questions?
Don't bot. You're going to get screwed one way or another.
Yes. And if you get caught, you will be in trouble. So don't bot.
Yeah.
All right. Questions. We only had a few of them this week, but you can
I have quite a few actually. All right. First one is from Dark Abyss 757. Dear the Great Trekkin and Shane-tacular, I have two questions for you this week. First of all, I have been wanting to get back into RuneScape lately because I am remembering all the good times of doing farming runs, questing, etc. But when I log on, I just don't have the enthusiasm to actually play, which usually leads me to swapping to StarCraft 2. Does this ever happen to you? What gets you back into the game? Secondly, if you could build your own dream desktop and money was no object, what would be your parts of choice? And also, if your laptop could have one unrealistic feature, what would it be? Example, every time you get a new formula, it bakes you a cookie. Thanks for the amazing show every week, Dark Abyss. So Shane, would you both, would you have a, every time you do a farming run, would you like to have a cookie?
No.
A Star Trek memorabilia?
Ah, sure. Sure. It works. It works.
So Shane, what keeps you playing RuneScape, Shane?
This question is entirely timely because, you know, over the Christmas break, I didn't do much of it. As I'm sure you guys remember, I was involved in some other projects that was just changed things up a bit. So, and yes, or last week, Star Trek Online came out for free. So, I did go have a look at that. And that game has a few interesting things in it that I think could be brought over to RuneScape. And it was that game that made me want to get going on my RuneScape goals finally again. So I think the core essence of this is that if you're feeling like that, the best thing to do is take a break for a couple of weeks and do something else, do something that is thought-provoking and interesting to you that you can learn from, something that gets you in an inspirational mood, and then come back to RuneScape and see what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
But
go ahead.
The problem that I was having before this was that, and it's still a bit of a problem, but most of my skills are level 80 plus. And for anybody who knows, level 80 plus skills get tedious to train.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem I find is that the rewards, the level ups, are just so far away, and because the training in RuneScape is so monotonous, everything is essentially grind except for Slayer and Dungeoneering. I mean, that's what causes the boringness of it. So you have to find some other way to make it more interesting. That's the key, I think.
Mm-hmm. Same with me about a year ago. You remember that time period when I quit RuneScape? Reason I quit was because, you know, I was no longer playing the game. I was doing it because I needed to do the chores. I need to go, you know, go do Tears of Guthrie. I need to go finish a farming run so I can get the herbs. I need to go do some fishing so I can sell them to the GE and get some cash in. And when that started happening, I wasn't having fun anymore. I was just like doing it because I needed to do it. When you start feeling that way, really, you know, best way is just really quit and just take a big break. What happens is, you know, usually if you take a break in between and someone says, hey, why don't you come back and take a look, add some new stuff, not only you know, you albeit the game, you may still be bored with some aspects of it, but usually you have a lot of extra content that you can explore. What kept me going was that, oh wow, all the quests that just came out that year, I had to do them. I had to finish them up and get those rewards and figure out how to do penguins and all that kind of stuff. And that was what helped got me back into RuneScape. It was because, you know, I was starting to actually enjoy the game more, not just playing it because I had to.
Yeah, and do something you haven't done before. For instance, I've been working on a bit of summoning, and normally I just go to the GE and buy my own secondaries. But this time I've been collecting them my own, so my own granite, my own water orbs. I already had the other two ingredients for the other two charms. So that's another way of doing it. It's just do something differently than you normally do. I mean,
mm-hmm. And put on a good movie.
Yeah, that too.
We did say it gets tedious, and putting on a good movie does help.
Yeah, so.
So part two, Shane, what's your...
I think that's the core of it. Just want to say one more thing on that, and that's that you need to set a goal, and that goal should be something attainable but not something so far away. Because if you set that goal and you can't get there, you're just going to get discouraged, and you need to find a way to do it. And like I said, don't do training all the same every time. So let's say, for example, you went for 99 crafting. Was that was after mm-hmm. you came back, right?
Yeah, I came back and I said, like, I need another 99, so I went for it.
Yes, and you didn't do what everybody else did with dragon hides or whatnot. You went the cheap way and did bracelets. And did you make a profit off that?
Oh, yeah. I made a lot of cash off of that. I bought my gold bars for like 90 GP each. I bought like 50k, 100, 50k, 75k of them. When I sold them, I sold all the bracelets for around 230, 240, 245. So, you know.
There you go. And what kind of bracelets were they? Just regular?
The cheap ass one, the gold bracelets. Just regular gold bracelets.
And people buy those?
Well, yeah, people actually do buy those. And my advice, if you ever go the cheap way like me, never sell them for less than 220, otherwise you're taking a loss. And as those who have listened to me in the past year or so when I've talked about this, you will know why. And if you don't, go check out the RuneScape Knowledge Database and try to find out why.
Currently, they're 217.
It always drop once in a while. Because usually what I think people do is they high-alk it. Because it's easy. Because you can buy so much of it. And it's
do you want to tell us what to look for in the Knowledge Database?
I wonder if it's... Check out... what is it? Rogue? Check out the Rogue.
Oh, he buys the gold bracelets, doesn't he?
Yes, if you did Summer's End.
He buys basic gold jewelry. That's correct. Right.
He bought. You forgot about that, didn't you?
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've done it before. That's what I did for my 99 magic. I strung the gold amulets and then sold them all to him.
So yeah, basically, if you have done Summer's End, you can unlock a rogue in Varrock, which buys every regular gold jewelry, and he buys gold bracelets for 220 flat, every single one. So do not sell it for less than 220, otherwise you're taking a loss.
Yep.
And so we actually went on this wait a little bit too long. So any last minute comment, any last second comment, Shane?
Not on that one. No, I want to move on to the second part now.
All right. What is your dream desktop, Shane?
Okay. Well,
this will take a while.
Well, do you want to go first?
I would. Well, let's see. I would like to have a nice, very big table where I could put, like, you know, have my double monitors, maybe two, for my desktop. Heck, why not just bring the most expensive ones out there and just dump it in for the hell of it, and maybe throw in some board technology so it'll continue to adapt and become better than it is right now, so I don't have to upgrade it anymore.
Then you'll have this little thing that's going to try and assimilate the internet and become an intelligence like Skynet.
No, it won't do that. I'll throw in an antivirus in it. It'll keep it in check.
Okay.
And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. I as you suspected, I do have a
long list
than you do. Specifically, I would like a bigger desk space to start off with because I'm kind of cramped where I am right now. Yeah, that would be one thing for my main non-gaming, I guess. So let's talk about non-gaming first. For those of you guys who don't know, for my non-gaming, I have a 27-inch iMac that I use for pretty much everything aside from the games that require Windows. So that's StarCraft 2 would work, but I'm just happy the way it works on my Windows machine. I'm sure it would work spectacularly on the iMac because it's a pretty good GPU in there. It's a AMD 6970 mobile, I think that's what it is. I don't remember exactly. But anyways, aside from that, yes, 6970. The only thing I would change about this setup is I would get a bigger desk for it, and if money was no object, I would get another 27-inch Apple display for it.
Wow! That's...
But as for my Windows computer, I would get a mount for my two for dual monitors, 23-inch. Assuming I did get that 27-inch display, then I could use two 23-inch monitors on that. Mount that together, and then As regards for hardware, I would be interested in going with Intel i7 Ivy Bridge when those come out. Make sure the new motherboard has Thunderbolt. Probably 8 gigabytes of RAM. SSD, of course. That would be top end nowadays. Spinning drives for the extra storage. And as for video cards, I would go for... I think it would either be 17970 from AMD or a little bit less powerful one and put them in crossfire mode. I'm not exactly sure which configuration I'd go with, just because sometimes you can get better performance off one card than you can off two. So it'd depend on all that. But the whole idea behind this is that I have X-Plane, which is a flight simulator, and the new X-Plane 10 is slowly working out the kinks in the beta, and it's got a completely re-engineered architecture so that each core on a dual or on a multi-core computer can take care of one aspect of the AI. So one core will handle one AI plane, another core, a different AI plane. One will handle the air traffic control system. One will handle the scenery. One will handle your plane. And then, of course, all that will be piped out to the GPU. So I would like a nice dual screen X-Plane setup.
I actually would like to have a triple screen so I can, when I'm playing first-person shooters or StarCraft, I can really look up, be able to do that whole...
You can use dual monitors with StarCraft?
No. Would be nice. Hack it a little.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how that would work, because you would have to span it across rather than using two specific screens, so you would get make it appear as one screen to Windows. And...
Well,
I don't know. Do people use dual monitors for StarCraft?
No. The way the game is set, they won't allow you. And I don't. If they did, you see a lot more professionals people using it. I would suspect, one screen be nothing but the mini map, and one screen is nothing but the actual game, and one screen is all the little units and stuff like that. So, it would just be too complicated for the average person.
I agree.
So,
what
would be your unrealistic feature, Shane?
Oh,
mine's Borg technology.
I don't know.
A cup holder.
No. I really can't think of much that would be an unrealistic feature. So.
Self-cleaning?
No, I keep my workspace pretty clean.
Self-vacuuming?
No. Anyways, I'm done with that one if you are.
Okay.
Next question is from the German. Hello, my friends. Quick question today about your playing habits. When do you think you play the most? I tend to play more in winter and summer, as I have more time then. Also, has your winter been very harsh? In Bavaria, we have had very little snow this year. Danke, the German.
So, Shane, you go first.
Well... I don't know when I play more. I think going back to when I was in school, I played more when I was in school, actually. I think because I needed the distraction. But nowadays, relating to time, it's mostly at night because that's during the day I'm always doing stuff.
So
that's when I play more.
Yeah, well, I mostly go around the late afternoon, evening, because everybody else is asleep and nobody cares. So I just do that mostly at night, unless I'm doing something else or I'm out. I don't touch it as much. And as for my winter, to be honest, my winter was very mild. It did not even rain until like last week. It did not rain through the entire winter, and right now it's really sunny.
Okay.
Yeah, that's San Francisco weather for you. What about yours, Shane? How was your winter?
We had a very absurd winter so far. I mean, it started with a cold blast in November, we thought that was going to be the beginning of a cold winter, but it's been completely the opposite. We had pretty much no snowfall in December. We just got a little bit last week for January, so that topped everything off. And we only had one more cold blast here in January. So I think it's been warmer than usual with less snow when it was supposed to be a colder winter. But, you know, this whole thing was a La Nina year, so the systems are messed up compared to what they normally would be. So,
yeah, to be honest, it's been cold. It just hasn't been cold enough for it to rain for some reason. Like, it's been so cold that I actually put on a sweater. And those who know me here, I'm always in a t-shirt. So our winters has just been strange, just but
nothing like harsh. Do you guys lose your leaves there in the winter?
Yeah, some trees do.
Okay.
Not all. Okay. Some of them are evergreens, or palm trees, so they don't lose their leaves. Usually around Fisherman's Wharf is where all the regular maple type trees are losing their leaves, and so it makes it very yellow in the street. And it gets dirty with all the cars running over it.
Yeah, well, you know, that happens here in September, so don't be complaining about that. We lose our leaves in September.
Yeah.
So
it should be coming back out soon too.
Oh, okay. Ours don't come back out until May.
Yeah. Usually ours, I think ours start coming back around late February or so.
Okay then. You want to take the next one?
All right, this is from Firering 401. Shane, do you have any tips not to get discouraged while programming? I personally think of myself as a bright student, but programming Java always makes me feel stupid, so I tend to avoid it. Also, what are your views on the renewal and extension of the DMCA's jailbreaking policies? Do you think it should be legal to jailbreak your devices that you own? And do you think ripping your personal DVD should be legal? Personally, I tend to go by the code of ethics rather than legality. Thank you for the great show.
Okay. Well, I think there's a few things that need to be said here. First off, regarding programming, it entirely depends on what you're doing and what kind of resources you have. And if you've planned out what you want to do. Because if you don't know what you want to do, you're not going to be successful because you're always going to be jumping from point to point to point to point. And you're not going to be able to focus on one thing and learn that one aspect of it. So that's my first tip, is to focus. The second tip is not to attempt things that are too out of your league. So first off, don't attempt to make a huge game or something, or a game in general that's has all kinds of interactions as your first program. No, that's the kind of thing you should do after a couple of months or so of programming. Start off making little quick utility things that'll solve problems that you have, and then use those, what you learn there, to springboard into your next programming task. So that, and starting off small and getting bigger, and probably one of the biggest things that you could do to not get discouraged is to have a good Java book. I mean, we say you can use Google for all this and stuff, but textbooks do provide a core structure as a way to learn a language. It depends on your learning style, particularly, as to what will work and what will not work for you. So those are three things that I think should help.
So, okay, so what's your views on the renewal essential of the DMCA?
Well, I think with this, the first thing is that we need to remember the DMCA was crafted in, I think, the year 2000 or something like that, way before we had all of this other kind of stuff happening. The DMCA was essentially a response to Napster. So we need to remember that we're in 2012 now, and we have a whole legal means of acquiring content online that we didn't before. So in a way, the DMCA isn't really as much of a stumbling block as it was before. But with that being said, the DMCA does kind of overlook some of the things that are, what should I say, common sense. I mean, here we're doing our own copyright legislation, and it's going to have a provision for fair use for making duplicates of your own content to back it up or put it on a different device, and that just makes sense. And according to the DMCA, you can't do that. If you rip a CD or a DVD to put on your iPod, you are essentially breaking the law with that. So the DMCA is not perfect, but it's a starting point. But as for jailbreaking policies, I think the response initially from the DMCA, contrary to what Apple wanted, was that jailbreaking your devices is in fact legal. You own it, and you should be able to do what you want with it. So, personally, I don't agree with jailbreaking, because you buy a device to use it what the device is for. If you want something else that's going to use this other set of features, buy a different device that does that. I mean, I see that both from the point of view as a user, just to keep things simple, but also the point as a software developer. I want you to use this code what I designed it to be used for. If you're going to be using it for something else, maybe that'll help me, but I don't want to support you with that.
Okay.
But you do own the device, so you do what you want with it. But personally, I don't jailbreak, and I would be upset if my users jailbreaked my hardware. But as for ripping personal DVDs, as long as you're ripping them to back them up or watch them on your iPod or store them in a different format, I think that's fine. And like I said, the DMCA doesn't have a provision for that, but our copyright law that's going to be reintroduced here does. What do you think about ripping and jailbreaking?
You own it. You should be able to do what you want with it. And it's kind of like if you're buying a game, why do you, you know, back in the day, how come you really needed to have the CD in order to play it? You have all the information there. You shouldn't always have to pop in the CD. That's why people started cracking it. It was just more convenient just to put in an execution file that does all that instead of changing CDs every time you want to play a different thing.
Well, the thing with some games and software like that is that you don't actually own the software. According to that thing called the EULA that people don't usually read.
Don't read.
You are just buying the opportunity to use the software. You are buying a license to use the software. You do not essentially own that software. So that's where that comes from. And you know, whether or not you agree with that, I don't know. But I guess that's the whole benefit of the open source movement, even if the open source movement isn't all that kind of coherent sometimes.
Do what you want with it.
All right. Last question now. Do you want to read it?
You do it.
No, I just read that one.
I thought I did. I was the one who read it.
You did?
Yeah, Shane. Short-term memory kicks in, didn't it?
No, I don't remember that.
Exactly. Short-term memory did not kick in, did it?
Yeah, so you're going to read this one then.
Oh, you jerk. All right, this is a question from Maromska. Dear host, Maromska again. I started watching Star Trek The Next Generation again, not since I was a kid. And I was wondering, what does Whoopi Goldberg character do in the ship? What's her role? Also, I will be going away for some time, and I cannot touch RuneScape for 2 weeks. I was wondering if I would lose money if I left my kingdom running that long without getting my ratings up. Also, safe trip to Uncle Dana. He is on the road for work, I assume, since driving in the snow is never fun. Thanks, Maromska. And to answer the second part really quick, yes, you do lose money. But only up to 30 days. After that, they don't care.
No,
anymore.
It actually works longer than 30 days now.
Oh, it does? It used to be 30.
Yeah, they removed
days
that limit. So you just put as much money as you want in there, and it'll keep chugging along. I don't know when, but that was an unannounced update that they removed the limit. A while back, Mike and I were talking, and he hadn't gone for over a month, and he was surprised that his kingdom was still gathering.
Oh, okay.
So you will continue to lose money with it, but you will gain resources from it, providing you can keep your favor topped up.
Well, he's going to wait for 2 weeks, so he's not going to be doing that for a while.
Yeah, well, 14%, 1% a day is really not that much. Just top it up before you go, and you should be good.
Mm-hmm. And usually, they say top it up before you talk to the guy anyway. That usually kind of cancels a lot of stuff out. Which ones?
That's true. You just got to keep it above zero to keep it gathering. But the point is, I don't know if this is a bug or if it was intended that way, but you can top the money up before you go in and top the favor up before you collect it, and you'll get more stuff.
Hmm. So, it'll keep draining. Just, you know, top off before you go. Gather your stuff. And so, Shane, why don't you answer the first part?
Well, Whoopi Goldberg was known as Gaiman on the ship. They portrayed her as the bartender in 10 Forward. She was an Elorian, which is a long-lived race, supposedly a race of listeners. So she was essentially the ship's counselor for the people that didn't want to actually go talk to the actual counselor.
And she was a counselor for the counselor, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So basically, she's a very wise old being that is very mysterious because nobody knows exactly how long the race actually lives, and because they haven't met another one like her. She's more or less the only one of her race that is known to still be alive.
Yeah, I remember she was back in the 18th century on that on Earth there on that episode.
With Mark Twain, San Francisco.
Yeah, 49ers. That's exactly what the role was, and she also had a presence that spanned time, because if you remember the episode called Yesterday's Enterprise, she was on that in the alternate timeline, and she knew that timeline wasn't the timeline that was actually supposed to happen. So she was a very mysterious being.
Yes, but the more you think about it, the more your head will hurt.
That's true. So, and you know, as our promise is here, we only bring Star Trek up if we're asked about it.
That's a lie. You know it.
No,
Shane, you brought it up like the very first RuneScape update. About the second one. Oh, the people would not notice.
That's the point.
Oh, too late.
All right. So I remember send us audio questions. No audio questions this week. That made us sad. So you can send us audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. You can send us a voicemail to 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632. That's a number from Virginia, so please do be sure that you do have a calling plan to call there, because you don't want to incur any long-distance fees. Or if those two methods don't work, just leave us a voicemail on Skype at the username rsbnbupdate, no punctuation, no capitalization. Oh, and please do read the FAQ before submitting questions.
Alrighty. So, now let's move on to tech news.
Right, tech news. So, first up, tweets still must flow. So, this is a Twitter piece of news, if you didn't get that by the title, and it's pertaining to Twitter censorship in countries that are like that. So, they say that as we continue to grow internationally, we will enter countries that have different ideas about the contours of freedom of expression. Some differ so much from our ideas that we will not be able to exist there. Others are similar, but for historical or cultural reasons restrict certain types of content, such as France or Germany, which ban pro-Nazi content. Until now, the only action we could take, the only way we could take account of those countries was to limits was to remove content globally. Starting today, we give ourselves the ability to reactively withhold content from a user in a specific country. So let's say you live somewhere and they don't like you talking about something like that. Twitter can pull it off just for the people in that country.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I don't tweet, so I really don't care.
Okay.
I don't twat or tweet, so...
The correct,
you do,
the correct word
out.
There is tweet.
Tweet, whatever, twat.
But it's an idea of free speech or something like that. Do you think that this should be censoring like this, or...?
Well, if you also think about it, China is renowned for limiting free speech, and so if they have massive firewalls to block it anyway, so if Twitter doesn't block it, China would definitely block it out, and so would many other sites. Not other sites, many other countries. So see what happens if they want to do with their own little land.
Okay. I see this from two ways, actually. First off, I want to say that I see it from the ways of the countries involved in that it's a good idea to respect the customs and whatnot in a certain country that, you know, if they're sensitive to certain type of content that shouldn't be allowed to be discussed, that's fine. And, you know, that's what the culture believes is right to do. But secondly, you need to picture Twitter as who Twitter is in general. So what is Twitter? What is Twitter? Like, what is Twitter to you?
A bunch of people posting about what they ate for breakfast.
No, on a wider angle, what is Twitter like used for?
Social networking.
Okay, now Twitter is a company. They're not a publicly held company, so they're not accountable to shareholders. They probably do have a board of directors. I'm not quite sure how Twitter's set up, but you know, it's a question of whether or not how far you want to cave in. Because as a company, you can do what you want. You're not obligated by laws in a different country for free speech. You should have an ideal of free speech, and you should be allowing people to promote that on a website. So I'm not sure whether I would pull stuff down like this or if I would let it happen. Because quite honestly, I can see it both ways. And, you know, Twitter's a company and they can do what they want. If they want to be a supporter of free speech, they should just allow this to happen and not remove any content. Just have some kind of license that says any content here is posted as public domain. But aside from the country that they're operating in. But that's it. For example, in the U.S., let's say somebody broke a U.S. copyright law. Twitter would be compelled to remove that because they're a U.S. company. But if somebody breaks a law in China, should Twitter be compelled to remove that because they're not residents of China? I don't know. I mean, this is the kind of thing we have to look at going forward. Like, I can see it both ways. Like, I can see it as a way of protecting copyright. Yes, we can remove those kind of tweets. Or we can... go into an oppressive regime, say Iran or something, and maybe block certain tweets out there. I don't know if that makes sense to do. What do you think?
I have no idea what to say, Shane, honestly.
Okay.
Twitter's never been my thing.
I'm just trying to get this on in my mind about whether or not it's something that that should be held to these kind of laws. Because if you think about it, if somebody's posting something that's copyrighted material, that should be able to be taken down. So if you say you want to take that kind of stuff down, you certainly have to abide by other countries' laws too, right? Because as we all know, the U.S. is not the center of the world, and the U.S. can't enforce their laws on other people.
So basically, you're kind of saying you shouldn't nitpick which laws you want to follow.
Yeah, you should either follow them all or follow none of them. And because, you know, some of the things are very severe compared to free speech, I think you have to follow them all and remove these tweets. As much as I am a supporter of free speech, I just think you need to remove that. Like, it just becomes so hard when you're dealing with multiple countries. If this was an issue solely to the U.S., it would be simple, or any other democratic country, but no, it's not. So, anyways, next one. What's this Kinect coming to laptops? Oops.
Accidentally removed a link on the page. So,
no, it's still there.
I just put it back on.
Okay.
When you're talking, I put it back on. So anyway, it seems Microsoft's Kinect motion sensing technology is coming to laptops. Supposedly, Microsoft is working on implanting Kinect technology into laptops, so you soon may be able to just wave your hands to control the screen. No more touching, no more mouse, maybe no more keyboard if you can figure out how to get that thing to work. So as we talked about last week, we talked about Kinect and computers anyway. We're talking about how we don't see Kinect being that great on the computers because I don't think many of us actually want to stand up to play a game. And usually our spaces are relatively confined compared to people who just plug it into the TV in the living room. So basically some of the things that's coming to mind is like image swiping your fingers at the air to switch between windows or applications, use other motions to control your song playlist and without having to be right at the keyboard. So basically you just build it in and you can just start dancing in front of it and control what goes on your screen. So Shane, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think going forward, it's important to note that you can't necessarily pull the rug out from our perceived ways of doing things with the mouse and keyboard because, quite frankly, our computers of this day and age are designed to work with the mouse and keyboard. Sure, they're nicely augmented by touch or gesturing, but that's not the right kind of interface for this. I'm not exactly sure what it could be used for on the laptop.
Motion capture.
Well,
if you're like a college student and you want to make a little quick video, at least you can use that to kind of make some amateur 3D animations. And who knows what could happen?
Well, that's the first thing that comes to mind. The cameras on the Kinect really aren't that great for even motion capture. I mean, people have dissected the Kinect API, and it's using very rudimentary motion capture. It can't even tell what a person is. It just goes based on blobs. So, you know, it's like kind of fake motion capture, if you were to compare it to real motion capture. But, you know, I think this is a Microsoft plan because Windows 8 is coming, and we all know that Windows 8 has the Metro-style user interface, which is what's already on Xbox with Kinect. And the same kind of interface on Windows Phone. So they want you to have a special way of interacting with your computer. But, I don't think waving is the right action for it. I mean, we need an alternate form of UI before we start anything up like that. I don't know. I'm done with that one unless you have anything else.
Just say that, remember, you'll be on a webcam, so don't do anything you should not be doing.
Yeah, that's true. So just make sure that you are aware of that, because I bet you someday there'll be some kind of virus out there that'll access that webcam while it's running Kinect gestures and stuff like that. So that'll be something Microsoft has to address.
That would be scary.
Yeah, wouldn't it be so nice to be able to hook into anyone's computer and see what they're doing at the time to like make sure they're doing their work or something, you know?
You can do that now with the surveillance cameras and IP addresses.
Yeah, but I mean webcams without people knowing.
That would be a complete invasion of privacy, man.
But you have a webcam. And if your computer's not secure, it's your own fault.
Hey, Shane, unlike you, most hackers are smarter, way smarter than me. So who knows what the hell they may be doing. All right?
Okay, let's move on.
I don't need them to see me picking my nose.
Okay, thank you. Moving on, Google public alerts on maps. So this is a U.S. feature. So they say this is part of the Google crisis response team. So they're going to be using this to provide emergency information during crises. So, for example, they might be weather, public safety, earthquake alerts. That kind of thing. So they give the example they give is if you type flood Indiana, it triggers a result for a flood warning in northern Indiana. So then it'll show you where that is on the map, and it'll just pop it up. And you can get more info on it from the right source.
From the blog.
Yeah.
Oh, right from the source, okay. Yeah. It'll be good for Amber Alerts, too, if they ever integrate that in. Those who start looking in the area and they're having a little pop-up menu saying that so-and-so child is missing, please be on lookout for whatever. Because usually most people are online looking for directions around the area. That's usually why we go on Google Maps.
Yeah, and for the bigger things, like for instance, when the Japan earthquake happened last March, they did put that on that there was a Japan earthquake where you could get more information from it. So I suspect for big things like that, earthquakes, weather instances and whatnot, they will put them on the page with a links to the Google Alert thing. So for instance, a high wind warning in the Los Angeles area. That's one they have. Also weather warnings for Washington, wind warnings for Montana, winter storm watch in Idaho. So... quite a few of them, actually. So this is kind of, I guess, the Google weather kind of thing. And, you know, it makes sense to go this way because if somebody's searching for something, it'll show up in the search results on the homepage. They'll be able to get that. And who knows, maybe you can subscribe to information for your local area and have it sent to you via the Google Plus application on iOS or Android.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be a good way to get more people to using Google Plus.
Well, yeah, I'm anticipating that the Google Plus application will eventually just get morphed into the Google application where you'll be able to do everything from a single application, which would make sense. If you want to. Anyway.
All right.
Skill of the Month update. Well, as predicted, everything kind of did dry out.
as anticipated.
Yep, Sorensen 57, 3.9 million experience, One Stone Pwn 1.6 million, Adiv 1.4, Sir Cormac 1.3, and Ranging God and J. Mycenae are roughly 1.1 million XP. So the month only has a few days left, so I don't think there's much hope of anyone catching Sorensen 57.
Unless they do something completely crazy.
Well, I don't know how you get 3.5 million Slayer experience in 4 days.
All right. So that's about it. And February skill of the month is going to be Hunter. So get up those box traps, get out those nets, and get those nooses, because you're going to be hunting for about
a 29
leap year. Okay, so you'll be hunting for 29 days. So have fun with that.
Yeah, and you can sign up at rsbnb.com/SKOTM with your forum account, and then you just enter your name. And we did have a bit of a person PM me last month that wanted to enter after the fact, but unfortunately you can only enter before the month begins, because the system is automated, and you know, if we were to do this, we would have to input fake data of zero for you for the rest of the for the first couple days of the month before you entered, so it's just easier if everybody enters all at the same time and everyone's got the same footing.
All right. Well, there's also up... All right, go ahead, Shane. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say next up is our winter survey. So you guys will remember every year around this time we do some kind of survey relating to RSVNB update in general. Just a quick little survey. No real personal information required here unless you want to. Just how do you perceive RSVNB update? How does it relate to RSVNB? How does it relate to your RuneScape character? What do you like about RSVNB update? That kind of thing. So if you could fill this out, that would be great. The questions are really simple. For instance, how often do you listen to RSVNB update? How do you receive RSVNB update? What other RSVNB features to use? What's your RuneScape combat level and total level? What year did you start playing RuneScape? How satisfied are you with the content provided by RSVNB update? What could be improved? And any comments or suggestions in general?
Yes, because I know I'm not perfect, nor is Shane. So good feedback is always welcomed.
Yeah, so you can find the link to that in the notes, once again, at update.rsvnb.com. Just look in the show notes for episode 345. I guess it's pick time, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. So, Shane, what was your pick for this week?
Well, I initially had a different pick that I was going to use, but... I forgot it. I didn't write it down when I thought of it. So I'm not sure if people know about this, but there was this good application that came out when the iPad came out. It was called Flipboard. It's essentially a magazine way to read content from Twitter accounts, certain categories, your Facebook account if you want, in a magazine style format. And back in December, Flipboard came out for the iPhone. So you can use now Flipboard on iPhone or iPod Touch. It's a nice reading experience. It's much nicer than reading the typical Twitter stream, because it includes pictures, if any, for the link in question. And it lets you actually view the link right in the page without opening Safari or something like that. So it's a nice way to view content, I find. And you can also share if you want to. You used to be able to share to Google Reader, but they got rid of that feature. So now you can only share to Twitter or Facebook. But yeah, check it out. It's free for iPad and iPhone. I don't know if they're ever going to make an Android version. From what I understand, the developer isn't keen to do that. Because I guess iPhone is still the dominant platform in their view. So
yeah, they actually, interest on that note, they actually did announce on the news a couple of days ago that iPhone is like the major smartphone shareholder. Almost everybody has an iPhone somehow.
Yeah, they're gonna. Apple's gonna retake the throne as the top smartphone vendor. So. Anyways, also with Flipboard, it's a very nice way to discover new content that you might not have before. So, for instance, I have the politics, gaming, science, news, and technology sections on my front page, and then of course I can view all the tweets coming into my Twitter stream. Then there's a section called Cover Stories, which is a mashup of everything. So overall, it's very nice.
Right, so if you have an iPad or iPhone, go check it out. It's free anyway, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Yep.
All right, so Shane, what have you been up to this week?
Well, this week I got 85 summoning.
Woohoo!
Dang. And that is a very expensive skill for anybody who is not aware of that. Everybody probably is, but it's very expensive. I mean, just to get about 170,000 experience, I think it cost me probably a million almost, or 900K or so worth of shards. And that, remember, I collected my own secondary ingredients.
Let me see. So, what did you make? That's what I was thinking of. What did you make?
I used my blue charms and I made moss titans. Then I burnt up my green charms with hydras.
Ooh, can I get a hydra?
Then I used a few gold charms and made some barkatoads with a few toads I had in my bank. Then I used about 40% of my crimson charms and made granite lobsters until I reached 85. Then I stopped because I don't have swamp lizards to make the whatever they're called. Swamp. What are they called? Swamp titan? Swamp lizard? I don't know.
Swamp titan?
Whatever
swamp
you unlock titan at level 85 with the that you use the swamp lizard for.
Okay. My method
aside
of training
that,
summoning.
Just farming on RuneScape aside from that. So,
My method of training summoning instead of doing the penguins. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like doing summoning the right way. So I cheat.
Yeah, well, you know, that's fine in general, I think, for getting XP, but I want to get 88, and that's another million experience to get.
Ooh, and you have collector shards, shards too.
Yeah, I'd need to make 2,800 swamp lizards, or 1,500 moss titans and stuff. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be an expensive thing, but I would much prefer to be able to collect my own secondaries because I think that would make things a lot cheaper. So I'm not sure what I'm going to make on that. So if there's anybody out there who has 88 plus summoning and has any ideas about cost-effective way of doing this, please do let me know.
Lots and lots of Barker Toads with your golds.
Yeah, I got 1,100 gold charms to use still. So.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, that would be lots of Barker Toads.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also worth noting that those are not... that the gold charms and the green charms do not give the best XP. It's a well-known fact that the best XP comes for the blue charms, the crimsons, then the gold, then the greens. So,
And if you actually take a look on RuneScape calculator, that I did a shard experience analysis really quick, and the best one was the rune Minotaurs because it only costs you one shard to make it. Cost you one shard to make it, but it costs you a rune bar as well.
Yeah, and rune bars are what, 11k each now?
I don't know, let me check.
I need to make 1,400 rune minotaurs.
Wow, rune.
I can mine rune.
Hard to mine. That's 13k right now.
Yeah, that's what I should do. I should get 99 mining.
Where would you mine the rune, though?
I don't know. That's just me thinking out loud. Anyways, what have you been doing?
Me? I've been working on construction earlier. I managed to get 277, just doing some minor ones with my SC hammers. I just got myself 85 fire making. So that's always good. I'm working on getting to 91 so I can try out that fireman's curse thing. Try it out and see what that is about. And other than that, that's about it. Nothing fancy.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so that's shit then. So
if anybody out there has swamp lizards or granite that they want to, or no, I don't need granite. I got lots of granite. But if anybody has swamp lizards, you know where to send them.
Shane's asking for donations.
Yeah, sure. If you have any swamp lizards you don't want, or if you're doing any hunting that you, or you're collecting them for some reason, just send them my way, please.
That's a very liberal thinking, Shane. You should be paying. No. You should be paying them.
No, it's a very capitalist way of thinking, because I'm trying to make the best amount of or spend the least amount of money, so I can use that money for other things that'll get me more money. Yes. So, I think that's it. Remember to do this survey, please. Surveys are good. We'd really like it if you would do that. So tell us what you think of the show. The only thing that's not changing is we're not getting rid of Trekkie. So don't write in to get rid of him. Just be constructive in whatever you say.
I think you just made a lot of people sad and mad thinking not get rid of me. I can name five people on top of my hand on one hand that would love to get rid of me right now. I won't say them,
well,
though,
keep
because
that in your mind, so I think I know what? Who a couple of them are, but we'll leave that for after. So anyways, with that being said, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
All right, bye bye, take care. And a happy year of the dragon.